God bless you, ladies. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Let's open our Bibles this morning to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. We're beginning a new series this morning, and I believe it's certainly the Lord's direction that we do this. The light of day and hour in which we're living, you might call it faith under fire. Faith under fire. Today, if we were to give our message a title, we would just simply ask the question, why Christians have trials? Our statement, why Christians have trials? We find here in this opening chapter of the book of 1 Peter that Peter praises the Lord. I'd like us to read down through verse 9. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations or trials, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, amen, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. May we pray. Father, God, please add your blessings to the reading of your word this morning. Just reading these 9 verses, well, Lord, what a blessing. What promises are given to us concerning your amazing saving and keeping grace. And yes, there's going to be trying times. There's going to be temptations, as Peter uses here, meaning the same thing as trials, trouble. Lord, help us, I pray it. Matter of fact, it's grounds in which you allow us to enter that, Lord, helps us, makes us stronger, increases our faith, and that we just go on, God, for thee. Encourage hearts. Maybe somebody here today, maybe more than one, maybe a number that need what we're about to say this morning. I pray for that individual maybe be that might be in our midst this morning that has never trusted Christ. May today be that day. We'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. In verse 3 here, we read that Peter talks about the Lord's living hope. In verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And then there's a lasting inheritance we read about in verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible, as far as I'll go right there for now. And then his longing for final rewards, wherein ye greatly rejoice, verse 6, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. He says you're discouraged, you are having a hard time, you are having problem moving on for the things of the Lord. But now, on a more somber note, Peter warns, he praises the Lord here, even though we're going through these trials, he's giving God the glory and praise. But he tells us and warns us that there will be tough times ahead. I hear almost daily, I am not a radio or TV freak. If I'm in my car at the top of the hour, I'll listen to the news. But almost every day I hear, whether it's on the news or somebody speaking, I hear that if I would let it, it would discourage me. It would get me down big time. But I know one that's in charge, so we'll just keep our eyes on him. But there's tough times ahead of us. And so he wants his readers here, and I believe you that are here today, be prepared for those times. I don't know what tomorrow might bring. Neither do you. I know it's a day the Lord hath made. I'll rejoice in that. I'm going to try my best with the grace of God to live by faith as Lord exhorts us to do, and try my best to be an example to others. I trust that would be your desire as well. But what can we learn here this morning from Peter's warning? For one thing, Christians are going to have trials. No doubt about it. I really honestly think that there are those that when they give their hearts to Christ, they think the trouble's all over and the rest of life is just a free ride. Boy, are they in for surprise. They really are. Nobody wants trouble. Nobody wants trials. Nobody wants to go through deep waters. But God allows those times to come in our lives. But He does it when His desire is that we be bettered on the other side of the storm, the other side of the trial. I see people that this past week, I've experienced some situations, and I mean, my heart just, you know, when it gets hard for us preachers to say something, it's really bad, you know. But I think people expect us to always have the answer. That's not so. That's not so. You see people going through very trying times, very tough trials. And he says there in verse 6, heaven is through manifold temptations. And again, let me say the word there means trials. You see, would you agree that rejoicing is natural for us? I love a good laugh. I love to be around people that somebody told me. Matter of fact, I was in the grocery store. Somebody looked like you might need to smile. You're going to smile about what I'm about to tell you. Promise. Some of you are going to just make it sure that you don't do it, aren't you? I was in the line at the grocery store. This guy's in front of me, and he's one of these guys. He's a jokester. You can tell he is. I mean, he's giving, and a young man was checking us out there, and he, while he was doing his final transaction, he asked that young man, he says, you know what you call a bear with no teeth? And, of course, that got my attention, too. He said, I have no idea. He said, a gummy bear. I laughed, he laughed, he said, leaned over to the checker, he said, that's one you can tell in church. Well, I just got a belly laugh. He looked at me and he said, I bet you're a pastor. I said, you got it. Yeah, yeah. I like to rejoice. I like to have a good time. I really do. I like to be around people, like to laugh, and, you know, it's a blessing. I think, matter of fact, I think, well, the Bible says a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Yeah, it does. It sure does. But testing times may cause discouragement. Now, I believe through these years of the ministry, I know I have. I've watched some people go through some terrible times. Crying times. Sleepless nights. Awful times. Folks, when those times come, God is not dead. He's right there. You need to turn to Him. You need to look to Him and trust Him. He'll show you the way. But we ought to remember now. Now, this is something that will get you through your trial, your storm. They're temporary. But you know something? The heartbreaking thing about this, Brother Emmer, is that it's just temporary. But I've watched it get people out of service for the Lord the rest of their lives. Just a little temporary, something they thought shouldn't have come their way. They had a wrong idea about their Heavenly Father and how He works and moves in our lives to bring us closer to Himself. Oh, yeah. Some Christians thought they were, as I said earlier, that they were just through with trials. No more trials. I tell you what, if you live for the Lord like you should, and I'm not talking about being boisterous and having a bad attitude. I'm talking about just in this world we're living in today, just live right. You'll have some trials. And most of them, but a lot of them will come from your own siblings and your mom and dad and your grandparents because you've lost it. You just, what is wrong with you? I mean, don't you, you know, and, well, much could be said. But you understand what I'm talking about. They thought faith in Christ would keep them from trials. They thought the gospel train was a gravy train. Not so. Not so. Now, there's no other life like it. Let me say this, folks. A Christian's life is not full of troubles, but you're going to have troubles. You're going to have trials. It's not a trouble-free ride. It is not. But I'll tell you something. I believe I can speak today from experience. I wouldn't trade about these last years since I've been saved and in the ministry for nothing in this world. Nothing. I'm serious. You're looking. I'm not joking. I wouldn't trade it for anything man could offer me today. And who wants the world? I'm just here for a while. I'm going to be gone. So are you, by the way. Then reality came in. Well, they're thinking this ride is just so glorious and wonderful and all of that, you know. Then reality set in. This trouble in this world, I should say, we're going to have trouble. You see, and by the way, well, let me just say it. Christians are not immune from sickness. Probably every one of us in this room today knows somebody that's sick, and some of them are very serious. Yeah. Brother Bobby mentioned to me a little earlier that his brother-in-law, where'd Bobby go? There's Bobby. Okay. Jimmy's been paralyzed for over 4 months. Going on 5 months now, isn't it, Bobby? It's a long time. Now, when I say paralyzed, I mean couldn't move in nothing, none of his body at all, none. One day it just came on him, and there he is. Can't eat. Nothing. He's paralyzed. But now he's down in Lynchburg, and I take it to be somewhat of a upscale, special-type rehab place. And Jim now can move his mouth. I believe you said he moved his foot twice. Now, that's a real step forward. That's a real step. Now, why? Here's a man had drove a Frito-Lay chip truck for 30 years. Well, I've known Jimmy for a long time. And I mean, anytime you see him, sometimes I'd see him out here in Warrington or maybe in Culpeper somewhere. And I mean, man, I mean, he's moving. I mean, of course, if you work that job, you know, production, you make a living on what you sell. I mean, just moving. And then all of a sudden, like somebody said the other day, and it's so true, today you're well, you're fine, you're feeling great, and tomorrow you're on a respirator. Why is that? Now, let me say it again. I will say it again. I probably would. We're human. We're weak. Most of us, without a doubt, will say, why did this happen? Now, some may not be that serious. Some may get up in the morning, they're hurting real bad, and they've got to have surgery. Maybe not real serious, but they've got to have surgery. Somebody goes to the doctor, examines them, and tells them they have some health problem that they wouldn't have happened in all their lifetime, but now they got it. Let me follow that up with this, folks. God makes no mistakes. Never has, and he never will. I need to say this right here. Watch this thing of getting upset and bitter and get poochy lips toward God. You girls right over here, girls, right over here. Listen, I'm talking. Need to listen to me, okay? What about that? All right. Lord has something for you. All right. People blame God and they get this wrong and bad and sour attitude toward God. That's not good. That only adds to the problem. Then there are Christians that have financial problems. Financial problems. If you're not careful, folks, and I've made several million dollars, so I'm an authority on this. Don't let money be your God. After all, God is the one that gave it to you. Every dime you've got, if it's in a jar at home in the closet, God gave it to you. Keep Him first in your finances. If you don't, God says you're robbing Him. You know, if I'm not doing what God wants me to do, in all probability, I'm worshiping that piece of paper that's a color of green, and that's my God, I'm going to have some problems. I'm going to have some trials. Yeah. We have financial problems, and that much could be said there. Christian workers, people that are sold out, dedicated, love God, serving the Lord, one day they're sick. I think about my brother this morning, not my blood brother, but my pastor brother, John Burke. I've asked you to pray for him. Matter of fact, they're having revival this week, starting today through Friday night, 7:30 during the week. On May the 2nd, 5 years ago, Brother Burke should have done what I'm about to tell you. He's going to have his right knee replaced. He's 86. What a man of God. I never knew a greater man of God. Man loves God. Well, somebody said, well, preacher, he's got old. He'd agree with you. But here he is, this age, going to have knee replacement. I think of another man that's in a nursing home right now. The church he started on the 10th of this month is celebrating their 50th anniversary. Most all of us in this room remember Dr. Hardison. Man of God. His wife, godly woman. As I speak to you, they're both. He's in one room in the nursing home. She's next door. He's 87, I believe, and I don't know about her age. But this anniversary, I talked to their pastor now that's pastoring that church, Brother Pearson. and on that day, and Brother Harrison has told, I mean, as a matter of fact, I called to talk to Brother Harrison. His son said, preacher, he's too weak. He just can't. But one thing I believe I know why they didn't is because when you talk to him, all he does is weep. He said, Dad has said he's going to the anniversary if we have to take him on his hospital bed. And his wife is going too. My. Now I know, I understand, I know these people are old. But folks, I'll tell you something, you don't have to be old to get sick. I can take you up to the nursing home and show you some people that are younger than I am. And that's really saying something. If you're looking for a free ride as a child of God, you're going to be disappointed. A trouble-free life? What in the world is that? What is that? No, there's no such thing. And then Christian parents have trouble with their children. More today than there's ever been. They were brought up under the Word. They made professions of faith that they knew Christ. They turned 18. Phew. You would never know they know Jesus. You'd never know it. They won't go to church. They're rebellious. They won't do it. They pray, but the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Is that what it says? Sure is. That happens. Some Christian workers have bosses they can't stand. They can't please them. I had one like that in the Air Force. Ooh. I won't go there. See, these trials, listen, have not taken God by surprise. Have not taken God by surprise. You know, most medicine you take stinks. Oh, you like it, huh? Mercy. Back home for upset stomach, you know what Mom and Dad used to do? How many know what turpentine is? When I'd see Mother go get some sugar and a teaspoon, not heaped or anything, but just some sugar, about level, And she can get and drop a drop of that turpentine on that sugar and say, open your mouth. They get it all. Oh, if you didn't have it, you'd get it. I mean, whew. It cured the tummy ache. Upset stomach, just like that. At least that's been our experience. But, you know, don't think about it anymore. But you can go to the drugstore today and get some stuff and make your cat sick, even though you didn't give any to the cat. The doctor says take one of these three times a day, take all the, and I believe you'll feel better. And as a general rule, most of the time we do. Right? Most of the time. You go to church, it's worth its salt. You might hear a preacher that'll preach the word of God to you whether you like it or not. He'll tell you the life you're living is ungodly and you better shape up and do right and you better stop doing drugs. Here in Vaucour County now, they're dying from heroin overdoses. Three just recently. It'll kill you. But listen, folks, sometimes we need to be, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder soul of the spirit and marrow, and it discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart. We need the Word of God. We need the Bible preached to us. It might not feel so good at the time, but if we'll obey God and do what God says, it won't be a trouble-free life, but He's right there by our side to lead us in the paths of righteousness. He will. He will. Our Heavenly Father remains the same in every and all situations. All of them. Number two, Christians may have trials related to their faith. Look at verse 7 of our text. That the trial of your faith being, now look what it says though. Don't stop there. Look what it says. The trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Notice the trial of your faith. How well Peter knew this. He wasn't speaking from inexperience. He'd been through the fires. He knew what he was talking about. Jesus had revealed his coming death on the cross. Peter knew where he was going. He had told them. Peter had experienced persecution for his faith. And then not only Peter, but we think about others. Paul knew about trials. He knew about imprisonment. He knew about being stoned. These are men of God. God's hand was on them. They wrote epistles that we read in the Bible to this day. Then there was Stephen. He knew about trials. Died as a martyr. And then there was James. Knew about these trials as well. Finally died for his faith. And Christians have had such trials down through the centuries. Down through the centuries. Those who suffer for their faith are in good company. They really are. And last I want to share with you, Christians may be triumphant in trials through their Savior. Look at verse 8. Let's go back. Well, verse 8's okay. He's talking about the Lord here. Whom having not seen you love. Now let me just look up at me, man. Don't answer out loud. Just I want to ask you something. Do you love Jesus today? With all your heart, do you love the Lord Jesus Christ today? Whom having not seen, you love. In whom though now you see him not yet believing. Now notice what we're going to read here. Ye shall rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You're going to find out as you're faithful to the Lord and years go by, you're going to see that it's been a joyful trip. Yes, sir. You're right. You have a right to say, man, Brother Jim, you've suffered a lot. Well, you do too. Well, used to it? God's grace is good, isn't it, sister? Joy through trials, sisters. I'm trying to be complimentary to these guys that went through some suffering, and they know we have a Purple Heart recipient sitting up here in the choir this morning. These guys have been through some fires. But they'll tell you today that God is real. And they love him with all their hearts. In trials, our faith in Christ is being perfected. You hear me? Perfected. It's like gold being purified by fire. You know, when Jesus comes, that will reveal that our faith is real. You see, our victories through faith bring praise to our Savior. It really does. Our trials are all, let me say it again, temporary. Temporary. Our rewards for faithfulness, all these rewards are eternal. Eternal. Our unseen Savior goes through our trials with us. He's right there. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's right there. Right there. His grace, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12:9, is always sufficient for every trial you and me will face. Every one of them. Every one of them. And I've said it here recently. As a matter of fact, I've said a lot about trials and testings. I believe it's of God. I believe people need, listen. Oh my, we never lived in a day like we're living. What a day we're living in. But I'm so glad today, and I can rejoice that we have our Heavenly Father that loves us, cares for us, will take care of us. And He wants to use us. He wants to use you and me. And I promise you, every dark cloud, every trial you grow through and you're faithful to Him, your faith when you get through that trial, it's stronger. The next trial, your faith is stronger. That's His purpose. Next trial, your faith is stronger. And then it can just come a howling storm like I heard last night for a little while. I thought, Lord, I hope my house stays on the foundation. I mean, oh, that wind. Oh, my. And you, would you believe I had to get up this morning and go out of town to get a shower? I had to go all the way to Remington to get a shower. And they had this little offering thing at the door, just drop in a love offering. No. Because mine wouldn't work at my house. Electricity went off about 10:45, stayed off about 8:30 this morning. Boy, we take a lot for granted, don't we, folks? Don't take God's blessings on your life for granted. They're all on purpose. God will bless you. And during the good days, stay as true to Him as you are in the troubled days. When you're faithful to Him in the good days, He'll be good to you. You'll know more about Him. And when the bad days come, He'll still be there. And you can tell Him you love Him. And you can tell Him that you don't understand what's going on, but you want Him to teach you whatever it is. Let's bow our heads in prayer.